This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Mitch and Pauly out for a couple more days. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you as we welcome you back here to Follow the Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Just to finish up a little bit of our conversation last segment, because the overarching concept of people putting out information and just assuming that it is fact. Because honestly, like, social media is where a lot of us get our news now. And there are so many insiders that they break news on their X accounts instead of on television or with a report, like all of those different things. But it really frustrates me how much we just take automatically as this is true. And you retweet it or quote it and react to it without actually reading an article or finding the full clip where something is said, or all these aggregators that are out there. They're not even humans that are posting half the time.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, it's a deeper reflection of our current state of society more than anything else. But at the end of the day, what is starting to happen, as we have talked about, sports betting has been vilified to an extent. And there are flaws with sports betting, absolutely, that are worth discussing and fixing. But now there's an attempt to try to tie almost everything to it. It's absolutely ridiculous. And something like this, again, to expand on that, because we kind of ran up it against it quickly, bettors, recreational bettors, mostly bet overs. And so tanking, pulling guys, things like that, that would only negatively affect bettors who are, you know, consistently playing unders, whatever it is. But for the most part, like, that's good for the sports books when those things sort of happen. Again, this is a generality I'm speaking in, so very much so.
I just wanted to say, for those of us that are just joining us, and maybe you did miss the last segment, we're speaking specifically about a quote from Ben Golliver, used to work for the Washington Post, was on the Jim Rome show, making a comment suggesting that when we saw these fines that have come down from Adam Silver, league commissioner in the NBA, to teams like the Utah Jazz and the Indiana Pacers for pulling players late in games, overt taking, quote unquote, saying that gambling companies could have played a role in that. But what the actual video clip that we played was basically speculation and him just talking about, hey, this could be something that happened.
I think
has been going around social media as reportedly that this, and that's just not accurate.
Yeah, Golliver's, I think. But, I mean, we'll invoke something that you absolutely hate. How often are we sitting here on an NFL Sunday and player X gets hurt, and what's the first thing that we see? There's two things that we see immediately.
Well, we see all the sports books come out and say that you're getting injury forgiveness.
Correct.
Which,
right, and the other is the bettors asking for that injury forgiveness. Why?
Absolutely.
Because they bet the over.
Yes,
so,
yes.
So when you look at this from the instance of...
That's why I get so upset, by the way, for the background, is because there are people that bet unders on these things, too, that would like to cash a ticket on that.
Sure. And so my whole point here being is, to the speculation of when Golliver says, well, sportsbooks can't be happy, I mean, it does make setting lines a little bit more difficult, but there are things that sportsbooks do to combat against that, lower limits, things like that. I just think at the end of the day, when you talk about the aspect of how it impacts the player props and whether or not books view that as something that is positive, negative, I don't think they generally are happy about it. But to act like something in which mostly people are betting overs, if somebody gets pulled from a game or is on a minutes restriction that's unknown, that hurts the people who are betting overs. The books aren't going to then call Adam Silver and be like, hey, buddy, we got to fix this. It's a ridiculous thing that continues to be out there. And by the way, like, there's media members who are actively trying to crusade against this and making some ridiculous, not accusations, but stories out there. June Lees, who an independent sports journalist, he worked for ESPN a while ago. I sent you a story of his like 2 or 3 months ago about he alleged that he's got friends that for fear out of their jobs, they won't speak up against sports betting, things like that. Like, these are now happening. It's absolutely ridiculous. Again, there are flaws with the system that should be discussed. But things like this, where it's just random speculation and everybody's running with it to then point the finger where it doesn't need to be pointed, I think is asinine.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, enough of that. Let's get to some actual bettable games that we do have coming up. And we have been talking, I think rightfully so this week, a lot about the Olympic hockey on both the men's and women's side. We do know that the gold medal game is coming up Thursday morning for Team USA versus Team Canada on the women's side of things, where Team USA, big favorite in this one, minus 425 on the money line. They're laying now 2 on that puck line up from the 1.5, which is, I think, worthwhile, especially at the prices that you can get now versus laying what I laid yesterday, minus 150 on the puck line, laying a goal and a half. You can get plus two at some places at even money or a little bit better if you want to play it that way. The goal total in this one sitting at 5.5. This U.S. women's hockey team, JVT, for me, and I've said this a couple of times now to you, is, I think, just operating at a different level than anyone else, including Team Canada. And that's with having their captain back and all of that stuff. It does not impact the way that I view Team USA, not only the way that they've performed in the Olympics, which is outscoring everyone to this point, 31-1, and are riding a 5-game shutout streak into the gold medal game, but against Canada specifically and what they've done in the regular season. So I think pretty much any which way that you want to bet Team USA in this, I would not fault you for.
Sorry, America.
You're going against it?
I mean, the price is... That feels like a price play more than anything. We were talking about this in the studio before we left yesterday. Where this game was priced in the round robin before the injury to Team Canada and then subsequently after. I understand how Team USA is playing, but this feels like a really strong improvement from a power rating standpoint for...
I totally get it. And I... When it comes to like the minus 425 to minus 475 is what we're seeing kind of across the board in this market right now. Like, no, I'm not going to play that. That's,
right.
But my stance on this team, even though the price is so out of whack the way that it is, has not changed from that first game. What were we talking about with Mike Palm?
Yeah.
That first game as well. Like, lay the alternate puck line, lay the 2.5. They end up winning 5-0 in that game. That's who they are. And so my stance on that hasn't changed just because the price and the math has changed.
Yeah.
So I think regardless, they're going to win at March.
Well, something
game,
else has changed though, right? Isn't the Pauline, she's
that's
back.
What I'm saying. Or, yeah. She's playing, yes. She was also playing in the other rivalry series games that they played this year where Team USA won by 3+ goals in all of them.
Okay.
So I
when
just,
did those take place?
November and December.
Okay.
So I just, they've been dominant. They're really, really good. I know Canada's good too when she's on the ice, but like that can't be that big of a difference to me.
So would you expect a game like this? Because I'm trying to liken it to, again, because it's the only thing I know. You know, game sevens in the NBA. They slow down. They get really low scoring. They get really gritty. Like, would that be something that transpires in games like this? Is there tighter checking? Is this
sure.
more physical?
Yes. And it's so, the jitters of a gold medal game.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Because my whole point here being is that, you know, taking Team Canada, I agree that the price is out of whack, then everything derived from that is also a little out of whack. Taking that plus 2.5, like you mentioned, like minus 130, minus 125.
That would what that's the price.
I'm looking at DraftKings. Yeah, plus 2.5. I'm looking at DraftKings right now. They're hanging 2.5 as the puck line right now.
Oh wow,
-135 in favor of the +2.5.
Okay, I was like shop around because there's depending on which side you like. Obviously, you're going to get better prices. Like BetMGM is at 1.5 right now. There are twos that are available in the market too.
So if I can find 2.5 somewhere, I can bet it at -130. I feel like that's a fair ask of the Canadian women.
Yes. Yeah. I think that the best chance Canada has would be to try to keep this lower scoring. And I'll say unders on the women's side of the bracket have been very fruitful to this point. However, I could still see this being a 4-1 game in favor of the Americans, which, yes, would still fall under, but that's Team USA winning by margin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they win by at least two, if not three goals.
And by the way, I'm make it clear for audience. I have no insight into the strategy and or how well this is to me purely watching the way this market has evolved and looking at this and thinking that, you know what, like, yeah, this is maybe a skosh too high and then playing it from that regard.
And your favorite quote that we've used a lot, hockey is stupid and you never know what you're going to get from a team on any given day.
I can hear
however,
right now.
We also have the quarterfinals officially set on the men's side of the bracket.
Wait,
and
real quick.
Yes.
Nothing in this bronze medal game?
I don't have anything.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure. Continue.
But I can look more into it tomorrow.
Okay.
I gave you the opening odds for Team USA against Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
Already bet out slightly a 15-cent move from minus 220 to minus 235 on the money line against Sweden. Sweden available plus 180. That goal total sitting 6.5. Finland minus 235 on the money line against Switzerland. You can get the Swiss at near 2-1. Goal total in that one, just a flat 5. Canada minus 1600 against Czechia, who you can get on the money line plus 725, where my 4-1 medal goes to die.
You're being very negative.
Total 6.5. Although
I was gonna say
+3.5.
Oh, I was just gonna say Adam Kimmelman was with us earlier at
NHL.com
and he
and, well
He seemed like he seemed to believe more in the Czechia side than
obviously
you did.
I bet Czechia to medal at the beginning of this thing because I thought that they were good enough and capable to do so. They just haven't looked like that team to me. That said, with some of the stuff that's going on with Team Canada, like Josh Morrissey hasn't been able to play very much. He suffered an injury in the opener, coincidentally, against Czechia. John Cooper said he, quote, looked good in practice, but isn't sure on his status yet. He's been day-to-day. Brad Marchand will be available, but does that mean he's going to play? Does he not? I don't know, because we didn't see him. He's been in so I just don't know what we're going to get necessarily from that standpoint. So maybe taking 3.5 goals, although I don't want to lay minus 140 to do that. So I need to think about this game a little bit more. Unfortunately for our audience that's listening right now, that game's at 7:40 in the morning, so we won't get to talk about this again tomorrow on the show as well. But I already bet Canada multiple times at multiple numbers to win gold. So I think I might just sit back and watch this one.
You know, I'm really looking forward to the gold medal game. Absolutely fantastic. 5 o'clock in the morning. Really love it.
Is that ridiculous?
I think it's fine. They're playing in Italy.
What?
Aren't they playing in
yes,
Milan?
Yes, but it's just so bad for everyone in America that's trying to watch.
No, really, it's 8 o'clock on the East Coast.
The game. That's still not, who wants to do that? A gold medal game that early in the morning, 5 o'clock Pacific for us.
I think you hockey fans are being a little heliocentric here, man. It's a little bit more than you.
I'm aware of that. Thank you very much. Can you not complain about something being inconvenient?
No.
Have you never done that before?
Did
in your
I use
life?
That term right?
What? Egocentric?
Yeah. Heliocentric. I said heliocentric.
Oh. What does that mean?
It's like representing the sun as the center or as except an astronomical model of the solar system. You think you're the center of the universe.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
College basketball is rolling. Baseball season is here, and now is the perfect time to bet smarter with VSiN Pro. Sign up today. Get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa bet splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video, full show replays on the VSiN Watch app. Plus, our all-new MLB betting guide out now. Inside the guide, does money buy championships? We break it down. You'll also get detailed team previews, a stats glossary, and key analytics to know. Sharp betting insight from VSiN Pro experts and the player's perspective as well from former MLB pitcher and our own VSiN host, Jensen Lewis. Start today, $9.99 or save 50% with an annual subscription. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe.
I think usually our dynamic would translate to, I think, a more of like the black cat, your golden retriever-esque at times.
Yeah, you make me so angry.
I think today that vibe has flipped. I've been kind of buzzing around you and poking fun at you. And, you know, you had a tough morning, so we don't have to get into the details of it. So I apologize. I tried to mess with you during the break about leaving the show early, and I couldn't even finish because the look on your face was just a pure, utter anger. But I wanted to lighten the mood a little bit here. Do you watch TV? Have you watched anything lately?
I am rewatching Game of Thrones.
Ooh,
does that count?
Stop. Pause.
Okay.
A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. Do it.
Really?
Absolutely fantastic. I started, so it's only going to be, I think, six episodes. It's a very short season, this first season.
Is it a limited series, or will there be multiple seasons?
I think there's going to be multiple seasons, but not that many. It's based off one of the books. People can correct me on Twitter if you want, @BJVT. I don't know the depth of the lore here, but I think there's going to be multiple seasons. But either way, absolutely tremendous. Season finale is already coming up. I think it's episode 6 this coming Sunday. Tremendous. Episodes are relatively short. They're like 35 to 40 minutes, and you'll get through it like that. Absolutely
awesome.
I've
been getting fed a lot of it on the algorithm.
Oh, tremendous.
Okay. I'll add it to the list then, but I'm only on season the season two finale of my rewatch right now. Okay. So I've got a ways to go still before I'm starting anything new.
No.
I can't pause start.
You can. They're short episodes.
I'm so deep into things right now, I can't just turn it off.
You've already seen it.
Also, this is a weird thing, and I'm curious your opinion on this. Maybe our audience can weigh in as well. When you rewatch something, is it better or worse knowing what's coming in a show like that? Because there are so many times where you don't know, and maybe you're shocked by something and you're kind of taken aback or you squirm or whatever it is, but now I know things are happening and I am so anxious. Like, oh no, I hate what they do to this guy. I can't believe they're going to kill this girl. Like, that kind of thing has just been buzzing in my head, bothering me.
Yeah, I Game of Thrones, I stopped watching. I was really excited because I know they're going to have...
It did fall off late.
Yeah, I mean, I stopped watching around the time. I was really excited when I think it was Rob's going to have that really happy wedding. So I was really looking forward to that.
Oh, where I'm at right now, he just married the girl. He just said, I don't want to marry the Frey girl. And she said, I don't want you to either. And then they got married in secret. And now it's all downhill from there.
Is it? I've watched all of you.
Also, speaking of like things on social media, though, that you brought up, I didn't realize how many people. So,
oh, you're wrong about this. Yes.
So
I apologize.
I don't think there's a right or wrong.
No,
in this.
There's a wrong.
The Olympics are played. All of the events are being hosted.
Why can't my favorite sport be the center
Italian
of attention?
Italian time. I get it. However, I was just saying it would be nice if it wasn't at 5 o'clock in the morning for me. Yet every single person in the world is just like a real fan would wake up and like, blah, blah. What? Relax. Why do you care? You know, like, I just don't understand what the big deal is. My slight reaction to a time has now invoked everyone to, what are we doing?
I mean, it is a very arrogant take.
It's not a take.
It is a take.
It's your, I am biased, obviously, love hockey. Hold on, real quickly. With the NHL being back for the first time in 12 years, I think that the men's gold medal game is the crown jewel of what we're going to see. And I get that in Italian time, it's in, you know, midday, perfect so people can get out and get there. I understand that. I am aware. Uh-huh. Can I not also just like...
The problem...
Wish it was something where our American and Canadian audiences could watch it at a more reasonable hour. Because those are the teams that are going to play in it. That's my only thought.
First off, a third of the country will be able to watch it at a reasonable hour. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. Second, your problem is what you did. What you did was you retweeted Nick Alberga, whose tweet reads, I don't care which time zone the Olympics is being staged in. It's downright criminal to schedule the men's hockey gold medal final for Sunday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 5 a.m. Pacific time. It's the feature presentation of the entire 2 weeks, which you responded with this. Alberga's completely wrong. It is not the feature presentation
of the
2 weeks.
I would like to say, and maybe I should have verbalized where my opinion mostly lies in this.
Correct.
But is that... I just wish that it wasn't at 5 o'clock in the morning.
I think your wording would have been received better if you're just like, oh, it stinks, like this is so early.
But y'all Dan chiming in, get a damn alarm clock, you cry babies. You never heard of that. Come on.
Over under 65 and a half years old for Dan. I would go over, heavily juiced.
Do North Americans think everything revolves around that? What?
Well, no, that's the thing is, Alberga calling it the feature presentation of the entire 2 weeks.
Those of you tweeting at me, though, it's the perfect time to watch. Shut your hole.
I think it's a great time.
It is not the perfect time to watch.
It's a great time to watch it, I think. I like the late night, early morning. I mean, we've gotten into this conversation about the Open Championship, about how I like, that's one of my favorite majors in golf because I do like the weird times and waking up early or staying up late and doing those sort of things.
And I remember our conversation that day well.
Wake up.
I shan't be waking up for this, fine.
By the way, Nick's follow-up tweet is absolutely ludicrous.
I didn't know he had a follow-up
tweet. Which is, might as well put the Super Bowl on a Wednesday morning at 9. Just stop.
We're getting a little dramatic.
That's
here.
The most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. I've enjoyed the Olympic hockey very much. That might be one of the most... insane statements I've ever heard in my life.
A little
the
dramatic.
Gold medal game in the Olympics is not the equivalent to
however
to the Super
why
Bowl.
Should my opinion or Nick's opinion or your opinion involve
not an opinion, that's
so
a fact.
Much anger? Just wake up then and shut up. Leave me alone.
I mean, you're the one that started.
Now I'm angry about it.
Right.
On the other side, what are you gonna do?
You get the gamble.
Speaking
early in the
of
morning.
Angry, I think that Jerome Tang is probably pretty mad right now.
Yeah.
So Kansas State is going to play their first game since the Jerome Tang firing today against Baylor. And for anyone who's kind of missed the background of all of this, it is a very interesting situation. Kansas State Athletic Director Gene Taylor spoke on the podium about the rationale and the decision for why Tang was ultimately let go for cause.
I don't want to get into it. There's language in his contract that addresses, certain things that could potentially bring embarrassment. You know, basically his comments about the student athletes and the negative reaction to those comments from a lot of sources, both nationally and locally, is where I thought we needed to make the decision.
Those comments that he is mentioning, though, we do have the clip of those as well. Here is a snippet of Jerome Tang following what was a blowout home loss to Cincinnati last week that ultimately led to these comments from Gene Taylor.
This was embarrassing. These dudes do not deserve to wear this uniform. There will be very few of them in it next year. I'm embarrassed for the university. I'm embarrassed for our fans, our student section. You know, it is just ridiculous. We got practice at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, and we will get this thing right. I have no answer and no words. So y'all got two questions. So whoever want to ask two questions, I'll answer them to the best of my ability right now. But right now, I'm like pissed.
And listen, it has been ugly on the court for Kansas State. They're 1-11 since the start of the new year, 4-8 ATS for a team that went to the Elite Eight in his first year that earned him an extension on that contract. You understand the frustration if you're Gene Taylor and the athletic director in this position. Yet, I don't know. I feel like I've heard worse things from coaches in the last 2 weeks than just that. So, for cause, those comments? He's fighting this, by the way.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, he just hired lawyers, everything like that. He's digging in, so... we will see how this ends, but yeah, man, this is ridiculous. I thought Seth Greenberg on ESPN's halftime show yesterday of the Houston-Iowa State game brought up a good point, which is, look, man, these guys are now essentially paid employees.
Sure.
I mean, and it's not in terms of treatment or whatever, but you can talk like that to them if they're not performing up to expectations. I think Tang probably hasn't been performing up to expectations either, but to use that press conference as the reason to fire for cause seems like shaky ground. I'm shocked. This might shock some people. I don't have a law background, so I'm not entirely sure. But I would assume that this is going to have some trouble holding up. But I think it also depends on language and what it means, because I thought I read something, and again, I never believe everything, but there was a clause about, you know the way that he represents the program, whatnot, that maybe this could get him out. But either way,
I think that's in a lot of contracts.
Right.
And I wouldn't say that constitutes for enough to... So it'll be interesting.
I have the clause here.
Okay.
Tang shall not engage in any behavior, actions, or activities that subjects coach, K-State athletics, or the university to public disrepute, embarrassment, ridicule, or scandal.
But I would say that's probably a similar thing that's in our contracts of, you can't say bad or embarrassing things about our network on the air and stuff like that.
That's different than that wording, though. Ridicule?
Now I'm curious. Now I got to go read my contract, see what it says. That said, Baylor laying...
Mine just says, don't be stupid.
Laying four today. Lots of movement on the total, down from 163 to, I'm seeing 156.5, 157.5. On that note, Derek Stevens coming up next right here in studio, Circa Resort and Casino. Go behind the counter. More college basketball as well as we go here on Follow the Money.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Get ready to win a larger-than-life World Soccer Championship experience only right here at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. One lucky winner scores a two-night stay here at Circa, a VIP cabana for the games out at Stadium Swim with $500 in credit plus $250 in food and beverage as well. Arrive in style with limo transportation, celebrate with cocktails at Legacy Club, and so much more. Enter now and kick off the World Soccer Championship right here where we're broadcasting from, Circa Resort and Casino. For giveaway details, head to CircaLasVegas.com. That's CircaLasVegas.com. As we welcome you back to Follow the Money. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. And we've got the owner and CEO here of Circa, Derek Stevens, live in studio with us. And as people are trying to transition out of football season, football and the World Soccer Championship will be here before we know it. World Cup's almost here.
Well, first off, great to see you. I missed you guys since Sundays. I really did. Yeah. So great to see you as you're filling in for Mitch and Paul. So the World Soccer Championship, let me just understand. Is that the brother of the big game?
Yeah, right.
It is?
It is.
Okay.
That's very well put.
Yeah. Okay, there we go. I haven't seen our own marketing on this. So the World Soccer Championship.
We had Mike Palm on last week, and then he was like, we're not allowed to call it World Cup. But we said it right after the advertisement was over.
I gotcha. Okay. So what is great about the World Soccer Championship is that it's a record number of games this year. And we are really looking forward to having every game on somewhere at Circa with full audio. So there's a few times in the early games where we're going to have to do it here and something different in Stadium Swim. But we're expected to blow this thing out. It should be a ton of fun.
With this, maybe this is a dumb question, but I would assume you're going to get a little bit more international visitors coming in with an event like this. Do you change the way you do stuff around here? Do you add to the drink menu? Do you do different things to cater to different audiences?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to show soccer.
Yeah.
which we don't necessarily focus on. But this we will. I mean, every game, we're going to treat every game just like an NFL playoff game. But I think the crowd for this is so different than years past. Time zone related has something to do with it. And then I think here, specifically in Las Vegas, there are a lot of people that are soccer fans. But I think also with the international visitation, I think if people are coming from wherever they are in the world, they're not just going to go to one location to watch a game. Sure. They're going to come to America, and they're going to visit three or four different spots. And I think Vegas is going to be a hot spot. I'm hoping that to be the case. So I'm hoping that we're going to see massive crowds for Canada, massive crowds for Mexico, obviously the South American countries, and then European countries. I mean, I think we ought to see a lot from Europe and Italy and Spain. It should be fun.
Yeah, it should be a blast. Reminder again, CircaLasVegas.com if you want more information about the getaway package potential there. Should be a blast. Speaking of international, obviously we've got the Winter Olympic Games going on right now. You guys offered a bunch of hockey, curling things here. How has it been for you guys?
Oh, I mean, how am I supposed to candy coat it? I mean, this stinks. It's hockey's been fun to watch, but you know, we got a big women's game tomorrow, so they're -500. Yep. I mean, we're not going to get
the pricing
a lot
on this stuff is tough.
The U.S. you're laying more goals than some NFL teams have laid on points. It's
the other day she took 7 in a hockey game.
Did you really?
Cashed it? Let's go.
the fact is that Olympic betting is minimal. It's just de minimis.
Yeah.
So it cannot replace the fact that we've got the double whammy of no NHL and no NBA.
Yeah.
It's no NBA. It's got to be killing you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially I don't really like the All-Star. Outside of the three-point contest, I don't really watch the All-Star games at all. I would assume, I mean, there's not much handle for an All-Star game in general anyway, so it's a very quiet time, and that's the part that stinks. I mean, outside of college basketball, it really does die down. I mean, she knows how many times we've been live betting women's and men's Olympic hockey because we're just looking for something here.
I mean, this might be the jump start that college baseball needs right now.
Sure.
I mean, because
they should do more around this time. Yeah.
Right.
Meanwhile, we do have college basketball on deck.
Yes,
so
yes.
With your Michigan ties, are you all Michigan all the time and everything? Like with that big game today against Purdue, are you interested in Big Blue? How are we feeling?
Yeah, I am. I mean, but I mean, this is the only thing I would say is this is the typical spot as in my gambling days. A team gets ranked up to number one and then has to go on the road into a very tough spot at night in the middle of winter. I generally like home dogs in that situation. So obviously that's a feature game of the night. So I'm excited about watching it. But I don't know about laying 2.5 or 3.
Just tipped off, by the way, is the 3:30 tip on Peacock. So we are just underway, scoreless so far. So you're good start. Good start for Michigan. Haven't given up.
You're going to in-game bet this, right?
Yeah. It's a ton of. This is kind of this is the prime time too to sit back, watch some of these games, see how they get started. Especially when you talk about a game like this where the total got bet up, right?
Yeah.
And it's such a tight spread at 2.5. The volatility, you would assume you're going to be able to find some sort of in-game angle as the game goes along.
What have you guys been talking about in the Boston College game?
So it's funny you bring that up. Femi of Epifay, who was on earlier, he's filling in on this to follow the money. Under was the play that he had and that a lot of people had. Right now you got 54 points with 5 minutes left to go in the first. But that seemed to be a trend that I had read throughout, was that BC and the under was okay. The way to go here.
BC's pretty dominating first half here.
Yes, they're up 14 for a team that is not off to a great start, obviously, through 12 games in conference play. They have been awful, but, yeah, it seems like it. ACC today is actually really good because we get North Carolina later today against NC State. That's coming up as well.
Louisville, SMU.
Yep. Big picture, as we kind of get closer, we're less than a month away from Selection Sunday. By the way, fond memories of Selection Sunday back in the early days of VSiN with you.
Yes.
When you would come into the studio and bet all the games in the first round. So how much does college basketball handle pick up here? And not even just with the vacuum of power with the NBA and NHL out, but now that we're getting closer to the tournament.
Oh, I mean, obviously it's still the biggest week of the year in Las Vegas. I just got out of a hotel meeting. We're kind of looking at arrival patterns. Yep. One thing that I continue to see that's very interesting to me is the arrival patterns continue to get earlier and earlier and earlier. It was really only, I would say, maybe 8 years ago, 10 years ago, when Wednesday kind of became equal to Thursday for arrival pattern. Now Wednesday blows away Thursday. Mm-hmm. And Tuesday is now an arrival day. And now I think some of that has to do with playing games.
Yep, the first four.
But it's also due to the fact that I think Thursday morning, 9 a.m. Pacific time, is a time that people just don't want to miss. Mm-hmm. And it's just moved earlier. So I think what you're going to see on the Wednesday night in here, it's going to look like New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
You know?
So obviously that start of the tournament is huge, but I know something we talk about as locals all the time is how much fun it is to be here for conference tournament weekend and all the games that are hosted here during that week. What's the flood of people like that time?
That's going to be terrific. I mean, that goes all the way from about March 5th up through, about the 14th or something like that. That in many ways for college basketball fans, that is a great week to be here.
You could argue it might be better.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. You can. And now we're seeing sports tourism for conference tournament week. It's significant.
By the way, I do have to do something after the show up here on the property. The winter meetings for the Fantasy Sports Gaming Association is here as well, huh?
Yeah.
Upstairs.
I just gave a little, I gave the lunch little keynote speech.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
Yeah. This is my first time going up there. VSiN's got a little bit of a panel. I get to. What's the word? Host the panel?
Yeah.
Moderate. Like moderate. There we go. I'm a moderator today.
I heard because when I was coming off, they said there's a special group with VSiN coming up afterward, and they were asking about the integration of VSiN and how does VSiN impact their hotel casino. So
So what else were you getting into when you were talking?
Well, I was up front. They wanted to know about my background, how I got here, why I don't like taxes, like how we build casinos, sports betting. I said I'm open to everything, take all Q&A. I said I'll even take questions on prediction markets. But if any of you work in prediction markets, I'm not going to hold back because you're all going out of business.
Yeah, I was going to say really quick, I was trying to find the news. There was some news coming down with the prediction markets in Nevada today. I believe the
Ninth Circuit Court had ruled. You're correct.
Yes.
Yes.
So that
ruled
was
against Kelce. Pretty big deal.
Right?
Yeah, so can you explain that a little bit?
In Kelce terms, it means if they lose something, that just means they resue, and it just kicks it up. But Kelce's taken it in the teeth a couple times. Prediction markets have in the last week or so. But at the same point, the chairman of the CFTC says they've been monitoring sports wagering for the last 20 years. This guy's ceiling is unbelievable. How does he even look at himself in the mirror?
What a joke
of a guy, this guy. Chairman
that
of the
video
CFTC?
Was ridiculous. Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Like, you got to watch what this guy says today. Like, you're like, are you kidding? Like, how can you even say this? This guy is an absolute joke.
The comments of the video, we were texting earlier. Yeah. I was like, that's where I want to live. It's just the comments of everybody trashing on this guy. Derek, you're awesome. I wish we had more time. Thank you so much for spending some of your time with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Great to see you guys.
Yes, back at you. Okay, when we come back, we are closing out this Tuesday edition of Follow the Money. We have In Pocket Plays and a little more college basketball to hit on before we go. Have a great day, Derek. We'll see you in a bit.
algorithm to determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I'll bet you 20 bucks I can get you gambling before the end of the day. No way. I'll give you 3 to 1 odds. Nope. 5 to 1. Nope. 10 to 1. You're right.
Speaking of college basketball, Purdue up on Michigan 9-8. Only a few minutes into the game, though. Still 13:44 to go in the first half. That said, time for In Pocket. Get to it.
Got nothing outside of this graded loss. The qualification round, Switzerland, puck line minus 3.5 versus Italy. What was the final score?
Lahou Zahir, 3-0.
And how many shots on goal did the Swiss have?
That would be a 51.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. I don't know what's in the water here.
Tough L. Two goals scored in like the first 11 minutes of the game, too.
Correct. Thought you were going to roll.
Brutal.
I was watching.
Yeah.
That's it.
That was very unfortunate. I ended up laying the puck line there as well. Doesn't come home. However, the Germans got it done for me. Laid the 2.5. They win 5-1 against France, so cash that. Looking ahead, we still do have a handful of pending plays. Czech Republic 4-1 to medal. Not looking great as they are a big underdog to Team Canada coming up in the quarterfinals. But I do have Canada to win gold. So if we can get that through at plus 114, that would be great. Especially considering they're minus 140 to do so right now. And then in the women's game, gold medal on deck Thursday. Team USA, get it done for me. Laying the goal and a half, minus 150. I also put a sprinkle this morning. Not an official play since I'm already knee-deep in Team USA to get this done at margin. But a minus 2. As well at even money was something else that I added to the fold. We've talked a lot about it today, but good reminder, everybody, the Major League Baseball betting guide is officially out right now. So as you are looking to get prepared for the season, teams are doing those full squad workouts right now. Spring training set to get underway. The MLB betting guide has everything you need. VSiN.com/guide. You can get it a la carte for $19.99. You can also start today, your first month, $9.99, or you can save 50% with an annual subscription and come join us on a full-time basis. VSiN.com/subscribe there. Speaking of college hoops, because I like the open of the thing. It's like, if you could bet on college basketball game, aside from the games that we already have in action right now, were there any going forward today that caught your attention that you wanted to get involved in, you did think about placing a bet in?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a couple of here today. There's going to be a couple of interesting spots. What about NC State and North Carolina today? Because I think initially you look at what some of the projections are and what this matchup looks like. North Carolina catching 7.5 on the road against NC State. Really interesting number when you look at this matchup. First off, projection-wise, it's only about a 3-point spread for a lot of these spots. North Carolina, of course, dealing with Pitt, despite the fact that dealing with the injury to Caleb Wilson. I don't know, man, like 7.5. That seems like kind of a lot here when you look at where the market's at. NC State is a, I would say, formidable opponent, top 30 team by KenPom rankings. Their offense has slipped off a little bit here in conference play, middle of the pack. I shouldn't say middle of the pack, top 5. And offensive efficiency in ACC play. Defense is middle of the pack, and their perimeter defense has been abysmal. Stormy opponent shooting 37.1% from beyond the arc against the Wolfpack here. And this is a decent three-point shooting team in North Carolina. So, I don't know, 40, when you look at that number, that seems like pretty big for what North Carolina can do. So I'm very much looking forward to that. And I'll be honest, not a big read on the other team, but just the fascination. Akron on the road against Western Michigan. Now, it's the MAC, so we have watched quite a bit of MAC basketball. But Akron taking on Western Michigan is an interesting spot because I just want to see what they have, Akron, that is, as a big favorite. We saw them against UMass, who has been pretty formidable. They got pushed last Friday. Now they're here taking on Western Michigan. This has not been a great season for Western Michigan. Just took out another directional Michigan squad at East just the other day. But you look at what they've done in conference play, it's been really bad. And specifically, their defense has been abysmal. Defensive rating of 120.4. One would assume that the Zips can name their number being the second best offense in MAC play. And yet, markets moved against them a little bit here. Saw this open 15.5 down to 14.5. Maybe it's just the road spot here and taking a big number with the home dog, but Akron and Western Michigan was also on the radar for me today, among some others.
You brought up Akron. I thought you were going to go Miami of Ohio when you went that direction. Lane 3.5 UMass today, total 163.5. That game actually set to tip off in the next 20 minutes or so.
Yeah. So if you remember, the Minutemen went out there and played Miami, Ohio. They were catching 9.5. They ended up covering the number. There are some that are making that game seem to be a little bit closer than what it really was. I don't think they almost won it, the Minutemen, but they were very competitive, and I thought they were almost going to let go of the rope, but they ultimately did it. Now you're back at home, but you're only catching three and a half. I think UMass is a really solid team in its context, we will say. Coming off of, as you just mentioned, that loss, they've lost two straight. Conference play has been fine, okay. Their offense has been okay. Top five team, they're actually fifth in MAC play and offensive efficiency. Good three-point shooting team, but defensively, leave a lot to be desired, specifically along the perimeter, and really just overall, they've been very poor. Also a very bad fouling team. Last in MAC play in terms of defensive free throw rate, so they're giving up a ton of trips to the line. I would want more. You know, I felt like there were some projections that had this in the range of like five and a half. I felt like I would want more than three, and it seems like the market's kind of shorting this because of the spot. I just feel like I need a bigger number for UMass. But
fair.
I shouldn't say I hope. But, you know, Miami-Ohio has been a fascinating story, so we'll just see what they have tonight.
Absolutely has been. Last couple minutes, let's go back to the Olympic hockey because all four of these quarterfinal games
Before you go to the Olympic hockey, your boys, your Aztecs, I got a big one today, Grand Canyon.
After what happened the first time around, so what's the number at right now?
8.5 or 8, depending on where you look. Total of 141 or 140 and a half.
You can't lay that.
Big revenge spot for San Diego State. And I will say,
Losing in heartbreak on a foul call.
Well, that's okay. So that's what I was going to bring up. Also, I'm trying to stave off Olympic hockey talk for as much as possible.
We have 4 minutes left. I think you could handle it.
I've had my fill. Grand Canyon. I'm really interested here. I actually kind of think your team is the side. First off, there's the revenge of the ridiculous loss on the road, as you mentioned.
Grand Canyon has faltered a bit lately.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you talk about some of these games that they have played here. Congrats on beating the crap out of Air Force and San Jose State, but losing at UNLV, losing to New Mexico the way they did. And that final score is not indicative. That final score for Grand Canyon against New Mexico, it was 70-64. They were getting their rear ends kicked up and down the court. They made a little bit of a fake comeback. They have not shot the ball well in conference play. Don't think they're going to do that here against San Diego State. And your Aztecs, man, I mean, the only slip-ups have been that ridiculous loss to Grand Canyon, which they should have held on to, and then getting beat by Utah State on the road.
Yeah.
I think that this is a prime, oh, my gosh, we're going to come out and kick your butt because you're nowhere near better than me. Non-data point here, obviously. And feel like it's a good spot here.
So I think that's fair depending on how you view Grand Canyon big picture, because what I'll say about San Diego State, and I feel like they've been this way for a long time, is that they have no problem and can crush teams that they are significantly better than and will win by margin.
Yeah.
I do not trust them laying a number against a team that you think is good. And so that's my challenge here in my mind is like, what is the true view of Grand Canyon right now? Are they a good team or are they not?
That was going to be my follow-up question was, is Grand Canyon a good team? I think we've kind of learned that maybe they have not been. The win against San Jose State snapped an 0-3 ATS stretch that they were on. They were 1-4 ATS in the previous five. I think they've proven to be an adequate Mountain West team. But I don't, as somebody who had bet them to win the conference regular season title before, obviously I was wrong. They're a team that is much more flawed. And again, the shooting has been absolutely abysmal. So you go out there, you get cold from beyond the arc, and all of a sudden you can't get anything done in the middle against the San Diego State defense. I think you're in trouble here. So I would answer your question as to, I don't think Grand Canyon is a good team.
Total 138. Again, 8.5 the spread in favor of the Aztecs out there at Viejas Arena. Four games. So all the quarterfinal games, don't you dare. All the quarterfinal games are going to be played before we're on the air. We will be able to sweat out that USA Sweden game, which is kind of fun. That's going to start at around noon Pacific time for us here. So we'll be probably into the second period when we get going here. But Germany laying -125 on the money line against Slovakia. I think this can be a close game. +105 on the money line chance with them, I think, is entirely possible. They are very live, I think, as a potential medal candidate as well. Czech Republic and Canada. Canada laying nearly 1,000 on the money line, -3.5 on the puck line, +120. The puck line is where I would say is maybe a little too rich on the Canadians. I could see Czechia keeping this one close. It is -142 to take the 3.5 goals. Goal total 6.5, but at least the lean there is with the Czech Republic on the puck line. Switzerland and Finland. I think a lot of these dogs, I don't know, like I'm interested in the dogs. I think they could be plucky here against Finland as well. 2-1 underdog, goal total 5.5, -135 of them to get the goal and a half. But Finland obviously has been very good, but I think Switzerland is better than they obviously showed today and should be able. It's just the goal scoring question of whether or not they'll be able to do that. And then with Sweden and USA, the Americans lay in -230 on the money line against Sweden. +190 for the Swedes. Goal total there, 6.5. I am very curious to see how this plays out for the Americans, because I think Sweden has figured things out these last two games after the slow start for them. Getting the goal and a half with the Swedes, -120, but +190. Could they upset the apple cart before we even get to the gold medal game? I do not know.
I'm upset with you. I'm not coming to work tomorrow.
You're not. We're going to get Dustin Sweetelson in the final day for Follow the Money. JVT just doesn't show to work. It's actually, it's pretty rude and disrespectful to the craft. Have a great day, everybody.